Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
Well, your calendar's off by a little bit.
Don't look at that. It's a secret.
It's because you're planning for my birthday. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Oh, my birthday's on a Tuesday? Gross.
On Tuesday?
Coming up on a Tuesday.
That's what I was trying to get.
I know.
I was there, but I wasn't there.
You weren't there. Don't lie to you. Don't delude yourself.
I was trying really hard.
Really had?
Really had. That's what she said.
I'm tired.
You're always tired.
I'm extremely tired today for some reason.
You worked hard.
I did.
You got a lot done this weekend. I've been deep cleaning, organizing the house.
I've been supervising.
Supervising? you put meat in our freezer.
I did put some meat in the freezer this weekend.
So that's pretty important.
Yep. It's very important.
Because our kids are big bags.
And they love deer.
They do. So that's pretty important. I ain't going to complain too much. And then we're getting ready to go out of town to celebrate Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. This comes out on Monday. Thanksgiving will be Thursday.
We hope it comes out Monday.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yet to be determined. Josh is really tired, so he's trying to drink.
I tried the Dubby today. I don't know if y'all have seen our posts on that yet or not, but it's actually really good.
I really like it. So I've been using it because Josh actually just got into town.
Wednesday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's Sunday. I've been drinking it all week. I drink it in the morning. It doesn't make me shaky. It doesn't make me jittery.
No, me either. And I'm very susceptible to that. Very, what do you call that?
Anxiety ridden?
Well, that too, but like you're super sensitive to caffeine.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I don't know if this has caffeine in it or not. I didn't look.
It does. It does. Yep. And then a lot of times when I drink energy drinks later on in the day, I have a hard time going to sleep. Mm-hmm. I can drink this about 2 o'clock and still be able to go to sleep that night.
Well, it's not like an overbearing energy. It's actually kind of a nice, subtle, get some stuff done.
Yeah.
Kind of drink. It's really tasty.
Yeah, it's really good. So we got sweet and sour blue raspberry, and sometimes a blue raspberry, it's almost overpowering. Like you almost want to, it's almost too much, but this one, right amount.
Yep.
So go support us. Yep. GGP for your promo code, as in Guilty Ghostly Podcast. Yep. You get 30% off. They've got some other flavors. I want to try the peach. They're sold out right now, but they said it'll be back in stock here shortly. So
you plug the website.
W.com.
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 Promo code GGP.
Help us out, guys. Help us out. Other than that, so I'm excited because, not just because of the story today, but I have some updates on previous stories that we have covered. I think the majority of them, believe it or not, are the ones that me and Tori have done. But one of them you and I have done. So the first one, I'll go ahead and do the one that's the most recent. So we just went over the Dahlia DiPolito case where the wife hired a hitman to kill her husband, ended up being an undercover cop, and they had this whole elaborate sting set up against her. We released it last week. If you haven't listened, go check it out.
It's totally mind blowing, guys. Like, you don't expect it at first. That lady needs an Oscar.
Very good acting. So, well, how I came across this is I was actually looking for pictures to post on some of our social media. And it was just this little blurb that came across. So the guy that actually turned her into the cops for trying to get him to hire a hitman for her, Muhammad, he was arrested. I tried to pull it up, but it wouldn't let me pull it up. He and a lady friend had a hotel that they were sharing with this third guy. And supposedly, him and this woman said that somebody was going to basically pay them to have sex on camera and pay him $5,000. Whatever, each their own. Okay. Well, the third guy, the third wheel, I guess, woke up in the middle of the night and the woman was like freaking out, saying like, he's ODing, but I know what to do. Not a big deal. He's like, dude, you need to call 911. She goes, no, I deal with this all the time. I got it. So she was like splashing water on him. And I guess he came back and was good. So the dude went to sleep. The dude woke up the next morning and the lady that he was talking to, saying that Muhammad ODed, she had OD'd and had passed away, and Muhammad had woken up and they had found her deceased. Of course, they tried CPR, tried bringing her back. They called 911 and she didn't make it. But it was just kind of strange that he was involved with that. The other one is Summer Wells. So I think that was Tori and I that covered that story.
Yeah, I think so.
Little girl went missing from the basement. Basically, it doubled for like basement bedroom. She shared a bedroom with her mom and dad. Very weird. She disappeared seemingly without a trace. They never really had any suspects, but the parents always kind of acted strange. But there's never any evidence. Well, I think it was like November 15th or something. Just earlier this month, the FBI was searching a field like just a few miles from her parents' house, said they were investigating a lead. They did not release what the lead was. They did not release if they found anything. But it's comforting knowing they are still working that case so hard and they are still looking for this little girl because they still have not found her. So there's movement on the case. Maybe we'll see an update soon. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And then while I was waiting on you to get ready, I was just kind of scrolling through Facebook and seeing there was an update on the Slender Man case.
Oh, wow.
So Tori and I covered the Slender Man case, which again, if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. Three little girls, like I think they were like 13 or something like that. Three best friends, two of them ended up stabbing their best friend and trying to kill her, blaming it on Slender Man, saying that he did it. They were found mentally not competent to stand trial, I guess. So they didn't serve time in jail, but they went to a mental health facility. The last update I had, they were trying to get one of them transferred to a new facility. And they said, no, we're not equipped to deal with her. Well, I just read that they did accept her and now she's missing.
Oh, wow.
She ran off, cut her ankle monitor off, and she's gone. They cannot find her. So as of earlier today, they don't know where she's at. So I'll watch that and see what comes of that one. So just interesting that some of the cases that we've gone over is having some movement. Kind of cool.
Yeah, that is kind of neat.
So that's all the updates I got.
We have one more update.
What's the other update?
Our new equipment's coming in.
Our new equipment. We were hoping it was going to come in Friday. It didn't come in Friday. It's coming tomorrow. So hopefully we do have a couple more updates. So the equipment comes in tomorrow. We're going to record the following. We're going out of town for Thanksgiving. So we're trying to get ahead of schedule. So we're going to record tomorrow on the new equipment for the first part of, I guess, technically a three-parter that we're going to do. So we're going to release the first part next Monday. And then that following Monday, the second part, we're going to have a special guest, special visitors. There's multiple. So I guess it'd be guests on the podcast that we get to cover the second half of it. And once we cover that, they are actually going to have us on their show and cover the third part of it. So I'm excited. I finished the research today for the first part. I'm going to do the second part this weekend. And then once we get home, we need to watch that movie.
Yep.
So there's a hint for you. It has to do with a movie. So I'm excited. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
I think so, too. I think it'll be a really neat collaboration for sure.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So I think that's all the updates now.
I believe so.
If not, we'll get there later. We'll include it. So today's story. Oh, and that's another thing. You guys are wondering why Josh keeps showing up. We haven't abandoned Seth and Tori. We've been traveling out. I traveled out of town. Then Josh had to travel out of town. It's just been busy with holidays and kids and work and everything else.
And Seth and Tori both are busy too.
They're very busy with their own lives. They come here when they can. Seth actually came and recorded the Dahlia DiPolito and it didn't pick up the recording and it was like a last minute thing. Josh did it with me. So they're not gone. They'll be here in a minute. We love you guys. We're trying to get ahead, so they may not be on next week's either, but
we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. See if we can work it out. Hopefully they'll...
Maybe we can get them in on a remote call or something.
Yeah. And that's what we're kind of hoping with the new equipment. It'll make things easier and then maybe send some equipment home with at least Seth. That way, if he does have Hadley, he's at least at home. Maybe he can do some recording while he's there. And just make it a little bit easier for everybody.
Yeah. We're hoping to increase production value for sure.
Yes. It'll definitely make my job easier, which...
Yeah. I've done a lot of research and found, I think, the equipment that we've needed the entire time.
Oh, yes, 100%. We're funding this ourselves. We have three kids, and we ain't rich, okay? Nope. But we're making strides. I think it'll be good.
I think so, too.
Okay, so now that we've updated on everything, you ready?
I'm ready.
So this one's a different. It is true crime, but it's a different kind of true crime. I will say there are some discussions of children that will be, how do I put that?
Graphic.
It's not really graphic. It's just there will be death of children. And sometimes that can be kind of rough.
That's kind of graphic.
It's pretty graphic. It is a very sad story. But a lot of questions and not a lot of them are answered. So, have you ever watched the documentary Something's Wrong with Aunt Diane?
I can't say that I have off the top of my head, but it's possible.
Okay. Well, we'll just dive in and you can tell me if it sounds familiar or not. So, we're going to start off with who is Diane? Diane Schuler is her name. Diane was born in 1973 and was the daughter of Warren Hunts Sr. and Elaine. She was the youngest and the only girl of four children.
Warren and Elaine.
Warren and Elaine.
Isn't that the same people that have had the doll?
Almost. Warren and Lauren.
Lorraine. That's okay. Right. Yeah.
My back itches. Okay, so she's the only girl of four children. So three boys. That's a lot of boys. Diane's mother was not in the picture, and when Diane was about 11 years old, her mother walked out on the family. There was a rumor that Elaine actually may have left with a neighbor or a family friend. So it kind of sounds like she ran off with the milkman when Diane was really young.
Back when the milkman was a thing?
Yes. Although there's nothing on record of this, it's just people kind of talking, but that is the rumor. This did seem to have an effect on Diane. She would even later say that at an early age that one of her dreams was to become a mom. She always said she would not turn out like her mother and she wanted to be present for her children. Diane would eventually fulfill the mother role in the house for her older brothers, from cooking, cleaning, kind of taking care of, basically running the household for them. Diane was an active Girl Scout and considered the class clown. All of her friends would say she was the most responsible out of her friend group and really had a type A personality. Which also is kind of me growing up, too. I was kind of the more responsible, motherly figure in our friend group.
When you wanted to be.
Most of the time. There were some times that maybe not.
Like, you did some hood rat stuff with your hood rat friends a few times.
We're not going to go. That's a podcast for another time. Well, Diane never really had a serious boyfriend, but Diane would eventually meet Daniel Schuler at one of her best friend's wedding. They very quickly fell head over heels for each other, and they would get married in the early 2000s. They then started their family and lived in Long Island, New York. They first had Brian around 2004 and then Aaron around 2007. She was that mom that was basically involved in everything with her kids. PTA, sports, school events. If her kids were there, she was there. Like, she was very, very involved with her kids.
Definitely sounds like you.
Yes. Her life seemed to be completely revolve around her children. She worked at Cablevision as the director of billing and collections. She was very successful, and her annual salary was about $100,000 a year. That's
pretty good.
That's back pretty then. Good. Yeah, that's really pretty good now. Back.
It doesn't go as far now as it did.
No, but that's still good money.
Yeah.
She was a very hard worker, very organized, and according to family and friends, Diane's husband, Daniel, she ruled the house. Like, she was the boss. She scheduled everything. She took care of everything. What Diane said, that's what was going to happen. Like, she ruled the entire house.
I think that's what happens with all successful marriages.
Okay, honey.
Yeah.
You would know. We've been married. We just celebrated 16 years.
Yeah.
You're doing something married. Right. You're doing something right.
Almost 20 together.
Totally. I know. We don't need to talk about that. That makes us sound old.
We are old.
You're old.
I might be a little bit old.
Well, Diane, she was always put together. She liked things done a certain way and wasn't afraid to speak her mind when it wasn't going like she thought it should. She was basically super mom and worked a full-time job, Words are hard.
Did your tongue swell up three times as big?
I think so. She was a super mom and worked a full-time job, seemingly taking care of everything. Many wondered how she was taking care of everything from work to her home life, basically flawlessly. Like, she never dropped the ball. She was always on top of it. And if it came between work and her kids, like, she was there for both of them continuously.
Trust me, I know the person. I don't know how you do half the shit you do.
I just sit in my closet and cry, and then I'm like, okay, buckle up. Let's go.
I would, for sure. I can barely handle the few things that I have to do. If it wasn't for you, this whole thing would fall apart.
We just do it. I don't know how it works. We just do it. It is crazy because when I was researching this, it did remind me a lot of myself, like, you know, being there with the kids and having to be involved with everything. And then she's worked her butt off at work and is a successful woman. And it is hard balancing both. I mean, again, I have a lot of these same traits, and you do get burnt out. Like, you kind of lose yourself sometimes, and it's hard to find that balance to where you are there for your kids, you are working, but you're also taking care of you. It's mm-hmm. It's hard to manage all of it sometimes. Sometimes I do it gracefully, sometimes I don't. And I will say, again, obviously I'm not her, but it's kind of crazy to think what happens later, what we're fixing to get into. It makes you wonder if it has part of that. I mean, was she burnt out? Was she just burning the candle at both ends and just hit her breaking point? I don't know. That's what's crazy about this case, is you don't have answers of what led up to this. Like, what happened? It just seems so out of character for her, and it's crazy. It makes you kind of sit back and say, whoa, what happened?
I'm genuinely curious now.
It's crazy. Well, part of what kept things running smoothly is she had to be in control of every aspect of her life. I'm not this bad. I'm controlling, but I'm not this bad.
Y'all.
There are some things where I let you take control.
Only because I make you. This girl has to have a plan for literally everything.
If there's not a plan, you don't know what's going to happen.
I'm perfectly fine with that. No. I love winging it. It's so much easier for me not to have to worry about crap.
That scares the shit out of me. And it's so
I work funny. So well under pressure, and you don't.
And it's no, I work under pressure. I'm great under pressure. It's just not having the
spontaneous
plan.
Spontaneous.
Yes. Pressure. Which is so funny because we talked about last week, May being like a carbon copy of me, like literally a miniature me. But she, on that regard, she's a lot more like you, go with the flow. She doesn't have to plan. Like, she's good. And then our oldest, who is a lot more like Josh as far as personality wise, has my controlling tendencies and has to have it
10 times worse.
But 10 times worse. She has to have a schedule. If it's not on her schedule or is not planned out, it's not great. Yeah. It's so funny.
Heaven forbid it doesn't go her way.
Oh yeah. Well, Diane was so bad that if someone put an address into the GPS and it would tell them to go a certain way and she didn't think that was the way, she'd be like, turn that off. That does not matter. We are going my way and there is no arguing. We're going this way.
That sounds like a truck driver that called here recently.
Oh, yeah. Guys, I had a driver call me at work this week. I took the day. I never take off of work. I just don't. I say that and I'm fixing to take a whole week off. But I don't take off of work unless it has something to do with the kids. I'm headed to Dallas to pick him up. I'm hitting Dallas traffic and I have a truck driver call me. I was ready to pull my hair out. Finally, I was like, here, call my production coordinator because I'm done. I am done.
You called me at your wit's end, venting so hard about that.
I was so mad. Just listen to what I'm telling you.
Yeah. All the while you're fighting Dallas traffic.
Yeah, while I'm, and he's like, well, it says to go down this road. Does the road sign give you the address? Okay, because, let me get there. So we work. My job is out in the middle of the country. We have to have a lot of room to grow all the seedlings that we grow. So we are out in the middle of nowhere. I gave this man turn by turn direction on how to get to our facility. And I gave him a GPS pin drop to get him to our facility. And he calls me and is like, well, is this the road I need? Well, does the sign say that road? Yeah. Then, yeah, you probably need to turn down that. Well, I already passed it. Okay. Well, there's nowhere for me to turn around. What do you want me to do? I was just like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know.
In the world of GPS that we live in, you type this address in and it literally takes you to the front door of the office.
So he has GPS to show him literally a pin drop exactly where he needs to go because this does happen a lot. I literally have the pin drop saved to send to these truck drivers to bring them literally to our front door. Not only that, gave him turn by turn directions as far as miles, which way he needs to turn, the road he needs to turn on. And he's like, well, is this the road? Yes. Oh, I already passed it. I don't know what you want me to do. There's nowhere for me to turn around. I'm not driving the truck. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, you're supposed to be a professional with this.
So at that point, I texted my production coordinator. I was like, look, this truck driver, like, I can't anymore. They sent one of our guys. Shout out to Tyler. He listens to the podcast. They literally sent him to drive the roads to find this truck driver.
No, they didn't.
Yes. Yes. They had to go find him. Anyways, that's just my week. I am so thankful for this vacation next week. I cannot wait. So Diane was a very intense woman. Very controlling. But it worked for her and Danny. It just, he was kind of like you were saying, like, yes, ma'am, that's what we're doing. Okay. So they would, she would take control and he would just sit back and let her do it. And that's how it went.
Trust me, if any of you guys are married, it's easier that way.
Anyways, on top of that, Diane was also a very private person. She did not really discuss her personal life with anybody, which that's crazy to me. I mean, I don't have a lot of friends. I don't.
You don't have time for friends.
But the friends that I do have, I mean, they know everything about me. I mean, like I said, I don't have many, but the ones I do, I share everything with them.
Well, you have
So
a very close-knit circle.
that's true. Very true. So I just couldn't imagine having all this pressure on her and not being able to share that with anybody. Just having to bottle it up and just deal with it. Like that's crazy to me. I love you. I vent about my husband.
She probably needs to.
But I mean, I just, again, I could not imagine not having somebody to vent to. That's just wild to me. So now we are going to lead up to the event. Diane and Danny had gone on a camping trip with their nieces in Hunter Lake Campground in Parksville, New York. They brought their kids, their oldest Brian, their son, who is 5, their daughter Erin, who is 2 at the time, and they also brought their 3 nieces. They were actually Diane's brother's kids, so her brother's kids. The 3 nieces were aged 8, 7, and 5, so all very young. Very young. That's not a lot of kids.
There's a whole lot of little kids.
A whole bunch of little kids. A bunch of them. They also took the family dog to go on this trip. Because there were so many kids and they had to pack all the luggage and the dog, the camper, everything else, they ended up taking 2 separate vehicles. So Diane is driving a red minivan that she actually borrowed from her brother, and she took all the kids with her. And then her husband had the truck and the dog and was pulling I think the camper, which that's one thing I'm kind of confused on. Some said they had like a lot that they rented at this place. They just left the camper there. Another said he was hauling the camper back and forth. Regardless, they were camping. They had so much stuff, so many kids. They took 2 separate vehicles. So we have Danny, Diane, 5 kids under the age, all under the 8 and younger, and a dog. That does not sound like vacation. They do their little camping thing for the weekend. They go hiking, they're fishing, playing games, just enjoying the weekend with the kids. They did often take trips like this, and it wasn't unusual to bring some of the cousins along when they did it. Then on July 26, 2009, they're ready to go home. It's time to pack up and head home. Danny got up at about 6 a.m. He started cleaning up the boat, getting everything put away so that they could leave. After about 45 minutes, he went back to the campsite and he woke Diane up. She got up, began packing bags, cleaning up, getting the kids up, just doing the normal mundane, finishing up. They decide to drink a cup of coffee before hitting the road, so they share a cup of coffee. And then about 9 a.m., one of the nieces calls her dad and mom to tell them that they had fun that weekend. They went fishing. Like, she's just kind of telling them everything that they did. Once they finish, they say their goodbyes. Danny gets in his truck and Diane gets in the minivan and they start heading home. Now, I may be getting ahead of myself. I may mention it later on down the road. And if I do, just okay. Danny was actually leaving, or like he was going straight home. He had to work that night, which again, you and I are accustomed to this. You had weird hours or whatever. So he's like, I'm going straight home, putting stuff up, going to bed so I can get ready for work tonight. And Diane's like, I'm gonna take my time with the kids to get home. So they were not planning on getting home at the same time. That was the plan all along. They were not getting home at the same time. At about 9:30 a.m., Diane hit the road, and the co-owner of the campground would actually later state that he seen Diane pulling out by the exit of the campground. She had her sunglasses on. She seemed completely normal. Others that talked to the family that day and over the weekend said they all seemed like they were in great spirits, acted normal. She pulls out and she gets on the road. Here's Danny worked later that night. He heads home to begin, like I said, putting everything up. Diane was planning on taking her time getting home with the kids. They didn't have breakfast that morning, so Diane decided, we're going to stop at McDonald's, get something to eat, let the kids play, run off some energy before we make the rest of the way home.
Yeah, maybe they'll nap.
Exactly. She's like, I'm going to need a loud ass, get something to eat, goes. So they stop at McDonald's to get the kids something to eat at about 9:56 a.m. Now, pay attention to these times. So they left at 9:30. At 9:56, she's pulling into McDonald's to get these kids something to drink. So not even 30 minutes has passed by. She can be seen on the camera taking the kids in, getting them breakfast. She got herself a juice. The employees from McDonald's that interacted with her said that she seemed completely normal. Nothing's out of the ordinary. No smell of alcohol. She didn't act inebriated. Like, just completely normal. Everything completely normal. The kids played in the play place for a little while. Diane can be seen. She's kind of watching the kids, laughing with them. Again, just seems completely normal. Just like a mom hanging out with all of her kids. Diane then goes to a gas station at about 10:45. So she left the campsite at 9:30. Got to the play place, 9:56, and then she's pulling into the gas station at 10:45, which is right down the road from McDonald's, like literally just right down the road. They also have cameras at the gas station. You can actually see Diane get out of her. She parks by a gas pump. She gets out of her car. I meant to send it to me so I could show you, but I forgot. So I'm just going to describe it to you. She gets out of her van. She walks straight into the gas station. You can kind of see, like, she walks to the certain aisle. I'm guessing it's where the pain medication and stuff was. She goes to the clerk. She's, like, kind of motioning at her head. Like, she's kind of this area. Like, kind of motioning to her head, asking if they had a certain pain relief. I'm not sure if it was, like, a certain one she was looking for. They're like, oh, we actually need to restock it. We don't have that. And she's like, all right, not a big deal. She gets in her van, pulls off, and leaves. Again, the clerk says she seems normal. When she was talking and asking for the pain relief, she was motioning to her head, almost like headache, maybe, they thought. But she wasn't stumbling. She wasn't falling. She wasn't slurring her words, just asking for pain reliever. Completely normal. The clerk said it wasn't clear, but it was almost like she had a headache or maybe even a toothache. Her husband did mention later on that she had been complaining about a toothache. Diane did have a fear of a dentist, though, so she would always kind of just deal with it on her own. She just wouldn't go. She wouldn't deal with it. She would just take a bunch of pain medication and hopefully it'd go away. The store clerk would later say that she was not for The store clerk would later say, like, she was not intoxicated. She was perfectly fine. Completely normal. And this is the last time that Diane was seen on video. Up to this point, every place that she has stopped at, they all said she seemed fine and nothing seemed off. She left the place at 9:30. Here we are, a little after, what I say, almost 11.
Mm-hmm.
Seems completely normal. At about 11:37, Diane calls her brother and her sister-in-law and tells them that they were running behind and they would be getting home a little bit later than expected. She told them that they had ran into some traffic. It was slowing them down a little bit. She doesn't mention anything about a headache. She doesn't mention anything about a toothache. She sounded completely normal. Just said, we're going to be home a little bit later. Okay, no big deal. Then, at about 12 p.m., just 20 minutes after she made that call to her brother, a call comes in that there is a red minivan that is driving erratically. And they're driving a red minivan. They stated the van was switching lanes suddenly, cutting people off, causing people to swerve out of the way to avoid being hit by this minivan. The kids could be seen in the back of the van, kind of like bobbing around every time she would switch lanes. You know, you can see their little heads kind of moving back and forth. The driver could be seen gripping the steering wheel aggressively and kind of like leaning forward. It almost appeared as if she was concentrating on what she was doing. More calls came in saying the van was following closely, honking, again suddenly jerking the wheel to switch lanes, even attempting to pass on the shoulder of the road, but it's like she wouldn't be able to, so she'd get back behind him and then switch lanes again really fast. So just driving completely erratic, not making sense. And this is just 20 minutes after she speaks with her brother and sister-in-law saying we're going to be late. One of the callers ends up pulling over at a rest station, and the van actually kind of follows them into this rest stop. Like, not following them, but they just happen to pull in as well. That's when they see Diane pulling in, but she pulled into almost where the trucks are supposed to go. And then witnesses are still kind of watching her, trying to figure out, like, what is this person doing? Like, they are driving crazy, now they're pulling in here. What's going on? That's when Diane gets out of the van and begins violently vomiting on the side of the road. So she jumps out and starts getting sick on the side of the road. And the witnesses thought, oh, she was fixing to get sick on the road. She was just trying to get to a place to get sick. So they report it to 911. They kind of go on about their business. They go use the bathroom. They come back and she's gone. She's not there anymore. So they're kind of like, oh, well, she did what she needed to do and she's back on the road. At 12:55, Diane's phone called a random number. It wasn't saved in her phone, and no one knows who it belonged to. Like, they have no idea why she called this phone number. At about 1 o'clock, Diane's sister-in-law gets another call from Diane's phone. She thinks it's Diane. She's like, hey, Diane, what's up? But this time, it was actually her oldest daughter that called. The daughter would tell her mom, there's something wrong with Aunt Diane. Mind you, this baby's 8 years old and calls her mom and says, something's going on. She would go on to say that Diane cannot see. She is very sick. This is the first that Diane's family is even alerted that something's going on. So these kids have been in this van traveling from this place. They stopped at the convenience store at, what was it, 11-ish, I think? Mm-hmm. And now here it is, just a couple hours later, and this is the first that her family even knows that something is going on. This whole time she was driving erratically, switching lanes, just driving crazy. Diane's husband has actually already made it home and was trying to go to sleep before he had to go to work that night. So he's completely oblivious to what's going on. The mom and the dad of the nieces haven't heard anything from them since Diane called earlier that morning to tell them that they're going to be late due to traffic. After trying to figure out what was going on through their daughter, they finally asked, you know, can you put your Aunt Diane on the phone? Because talking to an 8-year-old, like, what do you mean she's sick? What do you mean she can't see? I can imagine that you wouldn't get a whole lot of information. So, like, put your Aunt Diane on the phone. Diane began kind of talking in circles, not really making a whole lot of sense. They were trying to get information out of her, but, like nothing was coming through. They began, like, begging her, please pull over. Just pull over. You've got the kids in the car. Just pull over. At one point, she even called her brother Warren Danny, which is her husband's name. So she referred to him as Danny. They obviously knew something was seriously wrong. They could hear the children. This breaks my heart. They could hear the children crying in the background while talking to Diane. So obviously, the children are terrified of what's going on. Warren ends up asking his oldest daughter to start reading signs that they were passing so that they could try to figure out where they were so they can locate them. She finally reads a sign that says Terrytown. After about 2.5 minutes of this, the phone call suddenly disconnects. They lose communication with the kids. Warren jumps in his car and starts heading towards Tarrytown to see if he can locate his sister and his children. While they're making this drive, they called a family friend to contact the police to see if they can help try and find Diane and the kids. So again, they're just trying to find their kids. They're trying to find, obviously something's going on with Diane. They're thinking something medical maybe. They have no idea what's going on. They're just trying to locate their kids. So they call 911. They explain what's going on. They tell them that she's acting erratic. Kids are crying and in distress. The operator asked if Diane had any medical history or history of drug abuse or just like what could be causing this. They tell the operator no, that she's not a drug user. Nothing medical that could be causing this. They tell the operator that the kids mentioned that Diane wasn't feeling well. That's all they knew. And it happened so fast. Because again, at 11-ish, she was fine. Perfectly fine. And we're just now getting to 1:10. So it happened so fast. But then again, if that's your kids in the car, you think it happened so fast. But that's a long time for your kids to be stuck in this car with somebody that's... This case hurts my heart. At 1:10 p.m., Diane's phone dials 3 wrong numbers again. At 1:15, Warren tries to call Diane's phone, but it goes to voicemail. It was later found out that Diane had actually pulled over when they were telling her, like, pull over, pull over. She did end up pulling over after calling these 911 numbers. But after she pulled over, she would leave her phone on the guardrail and leave it there and pull off and leave.
Oh, wow.
Leaving her phone on the side of the road. This entire time, while all this is going on, she was on the right track that would normally take her home. So up to this point, she is taking the right way home. She's not taking any weird turns. She's not, like, taking side roads. She's taking the path that she normally would to go home. But after she pulled over and left her phone, she began taking a different way than she normally would to go home. Looking at the map, it makes absolutely no sense as why she would end up on what is called the Taconic Parkway. By this time, Danny has been alerted to what's going on, and everyone's going back and forth trying to locate Diane and the children, all while Diane is still driving and making her way to an exit ramp. While she's driving towards the exit ramp, more calls start flooding in up from other drivers. She's reaching speeds up to 85 miles per hour. She's traveling against traffic for about 1.7 miles. Other drivers, so at this point, she takes that exit ramp and it's a one-way and she's going the wrong way. Other drivers are swerving out of the way, going off in the ditch, doing everything they can to miss colliding with the minivan. Here's the other odd thing. You would think if something's going on, she's going to be swerving and driving erratically again. She's driving super straight. Straight line, dead straight, not swerving at all, just straight down the road doing 85 miles per hour against traffic. They would later say that it almost looked like she was driving with a purpose. She was staring straight forward, gripping the steering wheel, almost like she's completely unaware of the chaos that's unfolding around her. Because there's people dodging, hitting the road, the ditch, like trying to miss her because she's going straight forward. Almost like she's playing chicken with everybody, but she's not moving. Because so many calls are coming in, operators finally began telling everybody that, like the new callers, that they are aware of the situation. They have emergency people en route. Witnesses would later say that they thought this person was purposely doing this and trying to hurt themselves. At this point, they still have not connected this with Diane. They don't realize it's the same calls. So they have the calls coming from the friend saying she's missing. Like, we don't know where she's at. Something's going on. And then you have these other calls coming in saying somebody's driving like a maniac and they're doing all this. They have not put those two calls together at all. Suddenly, doing 85 miles per hour, the red minivan hits a trailblazer head on at about 85 miles per hour. The other vehicle was basically split in half from the force of impact.
Wow.
The trailblazer, in the trailblazer, there were three passengers, 49-year-old Guy Bastardi, his father, 81-year-old Michael Bastardi, and their friend, 74-year-old Daniel Longo. All three would lose their lives on impact. The trailblazer was then sent spiraling into a third vehicle with two other people that occupied it. Those two people would survive, amazingly. No idea how. Okay. I need a drink before we start this. It's really sad. The minivan would go into a spin, sliding into the grass on the side of the road until it eventually comes to a stop down a hill on the side of the parkway. At this point, the van would become engulfed in flames, completely consuming the van and, of course, trapping everybody inside.
Mm.
Witnesses sprang into action and ran up to all the vehicles that were involved in the crash. Some ran to the minivan and were able to get Diane's door open. Her body fell to the ground and she was already deceased. So she was deceased on impact. She passed. They moved to the back of the van and began pulling the children out one by one. This one hurts my heart. I don't know why. Three of the five children were also deceased, leaving one of the nieces and Brian still alive. However, the niece that initially survived the crash would later pass away in ICU just a couple days later.
Wow.
They were able to put out the flames, but nothing was left of the van. And I'm going to go ahead and stop here and show you some of the pictures of the wreckage. So let me start with everybody that was involved in the crash that passed away. 2-year-old Aaron, Allison that was 7, Kate that was 5, Emma that was 9. So that was the nieces and her daughter that passed. Michael and Guy that were father and son, and then Daniel Longo.
How sad.
Like I said, this one hurts my heart. And again, I think it's because it does remind me so much of me. I've always got extra kids. I'm always running like candle at both ends. Like it could happen to anybody. But then again, like we still don't have answers as to why, what happened. Like you really don't have answers. And I think that's what drives me crazy is like, she seemed like the mom that had it put together. She seemed like the mom that was in control and like, she would never put her kids in this type of situation. And some things I'm fixing to go over, but it's like, what were you doing? Did you really do this? Like, and why? It does not make sense. And again, I think I mentioned it later on down the deal. None of those kids had their seatbelts on. The 2-year-old was not even in a car seat. Insane. It's insane. This is the driver's door once they were able to peel it open. So that's, of course, where Diane was. I think this is just another shot of them. That was her vehicle.
Oh, wow.
I mean, smashed. Completely smashed. And I mean, it's just kind of sad. You can see the camping stuff. They just had all this fun and all the camping stuff in the back is now, you know, everywhere. But it's just like they were just having a normal weekend. I think this was the third vehicle that got hit, that sent that other one that basically got split in half. That's the third vehicle that hit that one. This is another picture of the van after they finally put the fire out.
Wow, that's crazy.
Which, again, I think I'll talk about it here in just a minute. Emergency crews couldn't hardly get to them because of the chaos that happened right that led up to this. There were cars in the ditch, cars on the side of the road. The emergency crews could not get to them to help because there were just cars everywhere trying to avoid being hit.
Oh, yeah. You can see where it's down at the bottom there where the van ended.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And I think I've got one more. Yeah, that was when they were trying to put the fire out. I mean, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. And this is the part where I kind of get mad. When they started looking in the van, they found a large broken liquor bottle in the van that was sitting next to Diane. It was like a large vodka bottle smashed into pieces. Brian, her son, was able to survive the crash. The only survivor in that van.
Wow.
Because in this, again, this is awful. The only reason, I'm not laughing. It is not funny, isn't it? If I don't laugh, I'm going to cry. The only reason that little boy was able to survive is because the other children took the brunt force and landed on top of Brian and absorbed most of the impact, basically protecting him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the only reason why he survived the crash.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to have to live with that for the rest of his life,
That'd be tough.
I can't. Emergency crews were trying to get to the site of the crash, but due to all the traffic all over the road, like I mentioned, they were having trouble getting access to the wreck. Brian would suffer major head trauma, broken arms, a broken leg, and a severe injury to his right eye. He would spend months in the hospital, and it was determined that none of the children were wearing seatbelts at the time of the crash, and the two-year-old was not in a car seat. They would do an autopsy on Diane to try to determine what led to the crash that day, and it did not provide hardly any answers. I mean, it did, but let me go into it. Diane's blood alcohol level was 0.19%.
Damn.
More than double the legal limit. They found the equivalent to 10 shots in Diane's stomach. They did check her organs for signs of alcohol abuse, but found nothing because they're like, well, was she like a closeted drinker, thinking like she had always done this and just kind of hit it because she was so concerned with her image? No signs that she was a regular drinker and this was just like a one-time thing, or this was a cause of that. They checked her brain for any brain bleeds, any signs of stroke, anything like that. Nothing. They found nothing. They did find high levels of THC in her system. And here's kind of where things kind of go off the rails a little bit. Like, her husband says one thing, but her friends say another. Her friends say that she was a regular smoker. Like, it was pretty normal for her to smoke. But her husband was like, she only did that on occasion. She did not do that very often. So there's kind of a little bit of a discrepancy. Her friends did say that she was not known to drink, though. Her friends were like, we don't know. She normally wouldn't drink. Like I mentioned, her husband denied that she was a drinker, said that she was only a casual weed smoker. He would argue that the findings had to be wrong. There is no way this type A, always in control, straight-laced wife would ever consume alcohol and then drive, let alone with her children, but somebody else's children in the car. At first, he would say that he didn't know how the bottle of vodka ended up in the vehicle. Later, he would say maybe she got the bottle out of the camper and took it with her, but he never seen her take it. Like, he has no idea where it came from. Her brother and sister-in-law would also come to her defense and say they just couldn't see Diane doing this. Like, they were completely shocked. Like, she wasn't that type of person. They were all really confused and said this was just completely out of character for her. And after not finding anything showing this was a medical emergency, they would rule a crash as a homicide. 8 people were killed that day.
Wow.
Since Diane also died in the crash, no charges were ever filed. Eventually, her family would hire a private investigator to prove Diane's innocence. The only thing that they could find is they went back to the toothache theory again, thinking maybe that had something with it. Again, she was terrified of dentists. She had been kind of battling a toothache the week leading up to the crash, and her family kind of remembered her like rubbing her face and jaw like it was bothering her. The police would then say that there could be a chance that she could have taken the shots of vodka and then smoked weed, and this would cause like more of an intense high and caused almost like a hallucination effect. Danny would stick to saying that Diane did not smoke weed that weekend. He's like, I did not see her smoke weed at all. Diane's family decided to have her blood alcohol levels retested because they could not accept that that was right. They're like, there's no freaking way. There has to be a mistake. They hired a doctor to go back over not just the blood alcohol, but also review the autopsy results as well. He concluded that everything was done correctly and it was all correct. Like, it was all right. It all stood up to what they had said. They even looked to see if there was any signs of like an abscess tooth or an infection that may have caused, because that can cause crazy things to happen. There was no sign of like an infected tooth or anything. It all looked normal. Some theories that have come about: could Danny and Diane have gotten in a fight while camping and then she took a few swigs of vodka, got carried away? But again, that just doesn't seem right for the type of mom that she was. Later, they asked maybe, could it be auto brewery syndrome? Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It's also known as gut fermentation syndrome. It's a rare medical condition where the body produces alcohol internally. It is caused by yeast in your stomach to ferment carbs into ethanol, the same way yeast makes alcohol when brewing beer. This can cause someone to become intoxicated without drinking alcohol.
I'll be damned.
Common symptoms: feeling drunk without consuming alcohol, brain fog, confusion, slurred speech, dizziness, fatigue, mood changes, headaches. However, this is very rare, and there is still the issue of the broken bottle that was found in her car. The family of the 3 victims that died in the crash would end up filing a lawsuit against the district attorney for not filing charges for murder of the 3 men. They would also file charges against Diane and her brother Warren for unspecified damages. Warren was included because it was his van that Diane was driving. Then in July of 2011, Jackie, the mother of the girls, filed a lawsuit against Danny, the husband. They were supportive at first, but once it was determined that it wasn't a medical emergency and the toxicology was correct, it began ripping the family apart, which I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Danny would then file his own lawsuit against the state. He stated they did not do their part, keeping the road safe. And Danny would also file a lawsuit against Warren, the brother-in-law. So it seems like they were just looking for somebody to blame. Anybody at that point. All the suits were dropped by July of 2014 and all parties settled. Brian would later talk about the day and say that all he could recall, which Brian is the son that survived, all that he could recall is that his mother said that she had a really bad headache and she could not see. This crash would then result into the passing of the Child Passenger Act. This made it a felony to drive while intoxicated with passengers under the age of 16 in the vehicle. To this day, they still have no idea what led up to it. They have no idea where the alcohol came from. They have no idea why she would have done it.
It's crazy to think that.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking.
It's definitely heartbreaking.
I've got to quit doing cases with kids because it rips my heart out. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, again, it's just one of those cases where you just don't have all the answers. And I think that's, I have a love-hate relationship with those cases because I do want to, you know, try to figure it out and listen to it. But then again, you never get answers. You never know. Like, why did she drink? She knew she had her kids with her. That just doesn't, that seems so out of character. So what led to that? And that's a lot of alcohol. 10 shots found in her stomach that wasn't absorbed yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of alcohol.
That is.
And it's just, it's crazy. Absolutely insane. What does that say?
Unable to connect to studio.
I swear to Bob. Okay, guys, we're not sure where that ended because we lost connection, but we were just kind of talking about the case and not having answers, not knowing what's going on. And it's heartbreaking.
Yep, it is. So, couldn't imagine getting that phone call and having to worry about where my kids were at the moment.
You think they're safe. They're with their aunt. They go with her all the time. And this one time, something crazy happens.
Yep.
Heartbreaking.
Definitely is.
So now that I made the mood sad, say something funny.
There's nothing to say funny about this case.
Not about the case.
Or even just... the mood's not right for it.
I know. Like, I don't know if we got it a second ago. So, like I said, our recording kind of cut off. But it's just... for me, the kid cases rips my heart out. But I always gravitate towards that. And I don't know why. I guess I like to torture myself. I don't know. But those cases, I guess, I think it's the not knowing and just wanting to know. So you take it all in and you listen and you watch and you read and you, just hope to make sense of it. But I mean, there's no making sense of it. But it's just, it's so sad. So
it's awful.
Very bad. Very sad. Breaks your heart. So, we still don't have answers. And I think they were looking for anything and everyone to blame with suing everybody and doing all that, like I said. But, I mean, who do you blame at that point? I mean, the one that has the answers is gone. She can't explain what happened, why. What happened exactly? You don't. And again, the time period is just such a short time period of everybody said she was fine. And then all of a sudden she's driving erratically. She's vomiting. She's showing all the signs of a drunk driver. But then again, when she's driving up the ramp, she's driving in a straight line. You would think if she was that inebriated, she'd be kind of swerving a little bit. And how drunk do you have to be to realize you should know you're driving against traffic? Like, that's a wrong way. How drunk do you have to be? I think so,
but a lot of that stuff happens pretty often with drunk drivers.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, they just... there's a lot of unanswered things with this case. So reading between the lines is next to impossible.
Yeah. Makes it hard.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Well, now that we made everybody cry.
Now that everybody's sad. And it's so funny, guys. It's kind of a joke in our family. I'm not a crier. I don't cry ever. I think that's the second time that I've teared up. The first time was JC Dugard. That one That one ripped my heart out. That one was a hard one. And this one, again, I think it's just because I relate so much to being that mom and being...
Maybe since you don't ever cry, this is what you need.
Maybe
this is your therapy.
Therapy, guys. Thanks for being my therapist, y'all. Yeah, it was a rough one. So I don't know. I don't think we'll ever have complete answers, but I mean, I think it's kind of obvious with the liquor bottle and everything. I think it's a stretch saying it was that one disease that rarely comes about. I just don't think that's it. I think she drank, but it makes you say, why? You had those babies in the car. Why would you do that? So
the only thing you can do is speculate.
Yeah. And again, I couldn't imagine being that family, either side of it, the husband, the brother, the sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. You lose your family.
And my heart goes out to all of them.
It's rough. The little boy that survived, I mean, I couldn't imagine. It was a rough one.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for making everybody cry. Next week's a rough one, too. Next week's a rough one. Part one of our three-parter. It's a rough one. We'll see. See what happens.
It's definitely an interesting story for sure.
It is. And it, I mean, the case itself is interesting, but then what happens years later has a whole different vibe to it. And so it's just, it's weird. It's a weird case. I'm excited for you guys to hear it. It'll be hopefully not so much. Well, the first part might be a downer. You're here to be sad. Just admit it. But part two won't be as sad. Part two will be creepy. And then part three will be fun. I'm excited for part three with our guest. So
mm-hmm.
I guess that's it. So I guess now I made you sad. We'll finish and go to bed. And
got to put dinner up first.
We did make a bomb-ass dinner tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Homemade ham, mashed potatoes.
Ham gravy.
Not just ham gravy. His grandma's recipe of ham gravy. That is one thing that I'm like so proud of, is I was able to be taught how to make his grandmother's ham gravy. And now I get to make it for him
mm-hmm.
and the kids.
And that woman could cook.
Yes, she could. And so I'm so happy that I get to carry it on. It probably doesn't taste anything like hers, but
it's close. It's real close.
It's a thought that counts. And cheesy green beans. We had cheesy green beans.
Mm-hmm.
Our son like inhaled it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't even think he tasted it.
No, he did not want cheesy green beans, which that's fine, whatever. And he's like, I don't know if I want any ham. And I was like, well, you gotta have protein, bud. You can't just have potatoes. So I gave him potatoes with gravy and ham, and he literally like
it was gone in about 15 seconds.
Yeah, he inhaled the ham. And we're like, wow, for somebody that doesn't want ham, you sure ate that. He's like, it's just so I could get to my mashed potatoes.
Yeah, right. He absolutely loved it, is what it was.
He scarfed it down. And then next week, we get all kinds of food. We've got your family reunion in Oklahoma. We look forward to seeing everybody on the Decker side. We get to go see our Decker side of the family. We get to go see my grandma Simons. She's the best. She makes some good food. We get to go see my dad and
yep.
Go see friends and family we haven't seen in a while. When's the last time you went to Oklahoma?
Dad's funeral.
Way to bring it right back down.
I really think that was
I think
last
so
time.
Too. So the kids and I get to go a little bit more often. I take off and normally take the kids, but Josh is normally working. So we're excited to have all of us there. Mm-hmm. So
and finally I've found a place where I actually have the time
to go
with you guys and
yep.
actually enjoy these little vacations that we get to go on.
Yep. So if you're wondering why I'm drinking on a Sunday night, I don't normally do that. But vacation has started. So I'm drinking on a Sunday night. I'm drinking static. So Mom Waters. Tori and I drank these on the podcast before. Shout out to Mom Waters. They're pretty good. Pretty good. I enjoy him. Josh is drinking Debbie, so.
Oh, I've got my blue chair bay.
Oh. He's drinking it on the side, y'all. All right. Well, I guess that's it. So I guess we'll finish up and see if I can loop our second half in. And I've got to get this edited and posted. Because somebody set his doctor's appointment tomorrow morning at the butt crack of dawn. So even though it's vacation, I still have to get up about the same time.
Sorry. Not sorry.
Rude. All right, y'all. Well, have a good Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family time.
Yep. So we don't know how much longer we have.
Okay. Stay spooky. Maybe don't stay too guilty. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, definitely stay away from the guilty.
Yeah, don't do the guilty. And we'll see y'all next week.
Yeah. Bye, y'all.